The singing and the fragrance up here by this pulpit is amazing this morning. It seems to signify there's something different about this Sunday morning than other mornings. If you looked at your calendar this morning, whether it's in print or digital, there's two events that it spells out today for April 1st. One is clearly more important to us as Christians as the other one. But you know, it's easy to look at that word, Easter, and okay, so it's, you know, it's a short word. But everything that led up to this day, and everything past to the resurrection day, it is the epicenter of Christianity. I like the account in Luke 24. And I typically don't like to read long passages, but I like Luke 24's account. And so if you would, turn to Luke 24 this morning. And there's things in this chapter that, unless you follow along, you don't pick up. So my encouragement to follow along. And I might add, for about almost 1,700 years now, in AD 325, the Council of Nicaea said that we should have a day that commemorates resurrection. So for almost 1,700 years, this day that we celebrate as Christians today has been a day set aside and particularly recognized by his followers. As I read through this chapter, it's easy for us to see. We can look back, and especially through this chapter 24 here in Luke, it's easy for us to look back and to sort of shake our heads post-event and to wonder, why did these disciples, up to this point, they were nearly with him for 3.5 years, and yet as we read down through here, we see that those 3.5 years still weren't, they weren't all completely convinced of who Christ was. And I'll point those out as once we get through reading. So follow along. Luke 24, starting verse 1, I think I'll probably read through about 27. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were beholden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning the Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is a third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonish, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So for about an eight to nine mile walk, I'm not sure where Jesus joined them in the walk, but it's approximate distance. Jesus took to the Old Testament and explained to his disciples about himself. And he has some really harsh words for them. It's hard to believe, but he says, "O fools." So Jesus was with his disciples for about 6 weeks after the crucifixion. And there was something different about Jesus. But it gave them time to realize him and to firmly develop an understanding of who he had said he was, who he still was. It gave them time. It gave them a true image of him, and it gave them time to release those lingering doubts that these people had about Jesus. And I've often wondered, what were the disciples doing on the second day? I just wonder about those conversations that those disciples were having. It says in verse 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. And maybe they were in separate homes, but I suspect that they were together. And what were they discussing? What did they think that night? Well, the resurrection created a powerful force for his disciples who at best before the crucifixion were curious, semi-committed, confused. They were selfish. Which one will sit beside Jesus? But once they understood what the crucifixion and the resurrection meant to them, these men became a band of men that were so committed to his cause that most of them ended up in martyrdom. I don't know how they decided who goes where, but it seems that the disciples spread out. Andrew, according to the historian Dorman Newman, he was tied to a cross, not nailed, and he preached for 2 days until he died. James, the son of Zebedee, in Acts 12, we read about how he was killed by the sword. Thomas, historians would say, had a spear run through him. Matthew was stabbed in the back because he criticized the king's morals. James, son of Alphaeus, was beaten and stoned, then clubbed to death. Simon, Thaddeus, Bartholomew, and Philip were all crucified. Leaves us with Peter. Peter, 3 times, denied his Christ. When it was his turn to be crucified, he learned it to be upside down. These ripples that today still emanate from the resurrection, there is still redemption. There is still restitution. And there's still forgiveness and the promise of a life hereafter. So today, while we celebrate the resurrection day, we call it Easter, I think as God's people, our instincts don't just call us out to celebrate it today, but it calls us to live it out every day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you came to this earth, and we still discuss if you came to give us life. Was it life or for your death that you came for? Today we just realize that it's both. Through one comes another. And help us to do more than just know that the event happened, but help me to internalize the promises and the convictions that your resurrection brings to all men. I pray that you'd be with us as we worship you today. May we do so with an emotion from our heart that shows love and humility towards your great gift of life, eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.